Last week we began kind of a little series here. I talked about three things that we need to become more spiritual. The first is a love for God's word. Second is fellowship with our Father. And the third is to confess who and what we are in Christ. So we looked at that love of God, love of God's word. You know, you can't love God if you don't love his word. And when you love something, you want to spend time with it. You want it to be part of your life. And, you know, when we love people, we want to be with them, right? So if we love his word, we want to be in his word. We want to read it. And that's what teaches us about God, so that we have more of a desire to spend time with him. God made man and created him as a three-part being, right? Body, soul, and spirit. The most important part of this was spirit. And Adam lost it. But man was designed to be a spiritual person. He was designed to understand things by way of his spirit, even in the natural realm. God, we always talked about in school, they taught us about, the animal kingdom, the kingdom of man, the whole thing. But we talk about the kingdom of heaven is above all. And spirit is above all natural and physical and plant life and animal life and everything else. And if we understand spiritual things and see things with spiritual eyes, we understand better. When Adam sinned, consequently, man's intellect took over because the spirit was gone. And that's really screwed up mankind for the rest of history until God gave back spirit. So it's really important for us to see things and be spiritual because we have that spirit. We have God and Christ in us. So we want to learn, you know. One of the great things, or at least what I saw as my life in the Word of God, is that what we really should aspire to is to get back to that walk that they had in the early days of the church, a walk of power, a walk that where we rely on God, where we see great things happen. And loving God and loving His Word is what propels us there. You know, that's what gets us to that place. So Proverbs chapter 3, we're going to start in the Old Testament, which is kind of funny because this is written to natural man, but it's still God's spirit that gave us the word, and the words are spiritual. We can understand these better than probably those guys did in the Old Testament. It says in verse 5, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." So, you know, we're looking at fellowship with our Father here today. That's an important thing. And when we have good fellowship, we want him to direct our path, right? In everything, not just in the big things. Or, you know, sometimes we have a tendency to go to God only when we have a crisis or when we have a big decision, but it should be in everything. In chapter 2, verse 6, it says, "For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding." So, you know, last week we looked at loving his word. Well, part of that is, you know, out of his mouth. Well, he may speak to us directly, but he also speaks to us through his word. And when we read his word, we get knowledge and understanding. We get wisdom. "He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly." So what a great thing. That's a great thing for us. "He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous." That's us. We're his righteous. "He keepeth the paths of judgment," or justice, "and preserveth the way of his saints." He preserves that way. He always goes before us. You know, wherever we go, whatever we do, God's there before preparing the way for us. And if we are spiritually aware, we'll know that he's there for us. Verse 9, then shalt thou understand righteousness and judgment or justice and equity, yea, every good path. When wisdom entereth into thine heart, and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul, discretion shall preserve thee, understanding shall keep thee. See, and, you know, if we understand these things, we want to have a bigger relationship with our Father. We want to love him. We want to do for him. We want to be the best we can be for him. Let's go to Psalm 46. Read a familiar verse to most of you, maybe all of you. Psalm 46, verse 10. It says, be still and know that I am God. You know, we were taught years ago, the greatest cargoes of life come in over quiet seas, right? And well, you know, was it the other day when I was at the hospital? I don't know, the doctor was, when I went to visit my family doctor, you know, and she was looking at me. She said, I'm really concerned. I said, well, that's your job. My job is to stay peaceful. You know, you be concerned and I'll stay peaceful. And that was it. And she was, okay. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Refuge means, you know, our haven, our safe place. And then it says Selah. You know, be still and know that I am God. You know, how much time do we spend just getting quiet and peaceful just to be with our Father? I remember when I was a little kid, I don't know, 3-4 years old, I can still remember vaguely, but I used to like to crawl up in my mother's arms or my dad's lap and just be there with them. You know, it was comforting. It was sweet. It was peaceful. It was safe. And that's the way we should be with our Father. Okay, let's go to Psalm 4. We will get to the New Testament sometime or another. God wants to, well, I have 4 sons, and I love spending time with my sons. When we were in Atlanta, Jeffrey and I took some time alone just to be together. And I just, it's just fun. It's just a joy to have that fellowship, to share, to see how he's doing, and he wants to know how I'm doing. And you know, it's just a great, wonderful fellowship. And then when I go out and see my other boys, it's the same thing. Andrew calls me all the time because he always wants to talk baseball. But but we talk about lots of things. It's just not baseball. And we text back and forth, you know. but it's just, it's sweet. It's a sweet fellowship. You know, I love to have fellowship with my wife. You know, my wife and I, lots of people like to take trips and they like to take it with big groups. My wife and I like to just be with each other because, you know, then we get, you know, private time and we get to relax. We did that road trip to Nashville and then to Atlanta, and we just had a ball being in the car together. You know, part of the way we listen to teachings, you know, and then we talk about them and, just talk about the things we want to do and the things we've enjoyed together in life. It's just sweet fellowship, right? Well, it should be that way with our Father God. That should be our sweet fellowship. That should be our sweetest fellowship. Psalm 4, verse 3. But know that the Lord has set apart him that is godly for himself. The Lord will hear when I call unto him. What a great thing, you know. We know he has set us apart. That's what sanctified means, right? In the New Testament, believers are sanctified. When you're born again, you're sanctified. And that means you're set apart. You're called of God. You're special to God because you are born again. You know, you're special. And he wants fellowship. He wants you to. I talk to God all the time. I don't just pray formally. You know, we all pray it. You know, I always pray at night before I go to sleep. And I thank God. And then thank him for a peaceful sleep. I thank him for my wife. And I pray for people that need prayer. And then if I wake up, you know, in the middle of the night, there's always somebody comes to mind to pray for. And that's just the way it is. But other times, sometimes I just talk to God, you know, I just, in my mind, I'm talking to him. Just, you know, giving him my heart, letting him, I mean, he already knows, but it's nice to say it and to hear myself say it. And sometimes he talks back and tells me things. And that's just the sweet fellowship that we're supposed to have. Where was I? Verse 3, and it says, the Lord will hear when I call unto him. We know that from many verses in the Word. It says in Peter, his ears are always open to the prayers of the righteous, which is a quote from the Old Testament somewhere. Then it says, stand in awe and sin not. You know, and we're to stand in awe of God because he is the creator of the heavens and the earth. He's our Father, but we should be in awe of him. What a great God. How amazing that we have access, direct access to the creator of the heavens and the earth. I was thinking about this. You know how science and all this stuff, and they get into evolution. And there's some things about evolution that are just insane and ridiculous. And it's mathematically impossible for it to have ever happened. But there's two things I saw and I thought, well, for this to have developed the way it did, I mean, what do they say? The Earth is 10 billion years old or something? But they don't really know, right? But it would take much longer for everything that has developed in this world the way it's developed to have happened. So, for instance, a giraffe has that very long neck. And when he bends down to drink water, he has like 26 valves in his neck so the blood doesn't rush down and blow his head up. Isn't that crazy? And then my wife showed me a picture of a woodpecker. A woodpecker has a tongue that goes back and wraps around and comes back again behind its brain so that when it's pecking the wood, it's a shock absorber so he doesn't destroy his brain. Isn't that wild? And then there's the migratory birds, and they fly 20,000 miles across the ocean. And so you know how they do that? Hemispheric sleep. Half of their brain goes to sleep and half stays awake, and then it switches. And they can fly for days and weeks, you know. And that just happened by accident. Okay. It's pretty wild when you think about it, though. Stand in awe and sin not. I'm in awe of God's wonderful, beautiful creation and all he did. Commune with your own heart upon your bed and be still. You know, get quiet. You know, when you go to bed at night, get quiet and just, it's great to get in tune. That's a great way to go to sleep, you know? Just get quiet with God, Selah. Offer the sacrifices of righteousness and put your trust in the Lord. Put your trust in him. There may be many that say, who will show us any good? Lord, lift up thou up the light of thy countenance upon us. Thou hast put gladness in my heart more than in the time that their corn and their wine increased. I will both lay me down in peace and sleep, for thou, Lord, only makest me dwell in safety. What a great thing, you know. He keeps us safe. He keeps us blessed. you know, I was in the hospital this week, and they treat symptoms. But God's the one that heals me. He's the one that takes care of me. He's the one that watches over me. I, you know, twice I've been in the hospital in my life, once for COVID and once for this. And I never had any fear about anything. I never worried about, you know, that I wasn't gonna come out and be normal or somewhat normal. I'll never be normal. I don't want to be normal. Let's go to 1 John. 1 John. Of course, the greatest example of fellowship with God, our Father, is Jesus Christ. You know, he was just the greatest example. You know, he's the one that taught us to pray to our Father. He's the one that talked about his Father. And before that, that was unheard of. It was just this Jehovah or Elohim. And, you know, it was a very formal relationship. And God brought us that personal father-child relationship. In chapter 1, verse 1, it says, "That which is from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it." And of course, that life was Jesus Christ. "And bear witness and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested unto us." You know, it was manifested to us on the day of Pentecost, wasn't it? When Jesus Christ ascended into heaven, and then Holy Spirit was made available. And then it became manifested. "That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly, truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ." And that's the real fellowship we should desire. That's the thing we should be most concerned with. You know, we love God, we love his word, we learn his word, and the more we learn his word, the more that word is in our brain, the more we're going to have fellowship with our Father, the more we're going to want to have fellowship with our Father. We should want to see the things that are talked about in the word of God. You know, we should want to see where miracles happen and signs and wonders. And the more we love and the more we have a great fellowship with God, the more we're going to see it. Amen. "And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full." You know, and that fulfills us with joy when we have that sweet and wonderful fellowship with God and with his Son, Jesus Christ. Let's go to 2 Peter, which is about a page or two before. Chapter 1. It says in verse 4, "Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust." You know, the word partakers is from the word koinonia. It's, you know, having that fellowship, that communion. You know, we think of communion, we think of a religious or ritualistic act. But really, communion is that full sharing we have with God. It's where we get the word communicate, right? You know, communicate. One of the biggest problems people have in life is, you know, and why do countries go to war and people hate each other? Well, mostly a lot of it is a lack of communication. Of course, there's a lack of God's word and God's love, but it's also a lack of communication. People don't know how to communicate. So it says that you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption of the that is in the world through lust. You know, we have that divine nature. That's what makes it available for us to have such a sweet and wonderful and close relationship with God. It's called godliness, right? That true, vital, spiritual relationship with God. That's available to us. You know, and God's doing it all the time. God's desiring it all the time. God's talking to us all the time. God wants to spend time with us. You know, so if you don't have it in your life, you know, it's your fault. It's my fault. It's up to us to work at having that relationship, of spending time with God, of being quiet and still with Him. I love to get off by myself. In the morning, I wake up and the first thing I do, I come downstairs and I sit in my office and I just pray a little bit and speak in tongues and think about my Heavenly Father and just, you know, I pray, I thank Him for the good sleep. I thank Him for the day ahead. I thank Him for my family. And if there's anything else, you know, I thank Him then before I start my day. You know, that's the way I want to start. It's like, there's that book I talked about once, Make Your Bed. You know, if you make your bed in the morning, it's a great way to start the day. You've accomplished something. Well, if you pray in the morning the first thing, you've really accomplished something, haven't you? You know, what a great way to start. It's better than a hot cup of coffee. We have a godly nature, a divine nature. It's more important than our natural being, isn't it? It's more important than our mental being. It's our spiritual being. Let's go to 1 Corinthians. Chapter 1. In verse 9, it says, God is faithful by whom you were called unto the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. You know, we were called unto the fellowship of His Son. We were called to be God's children. Aren't we joint heirs?
Yeah.
Yeah. We're partakers with Him. We're fellow laborers with Him. We're so many things with God and with Jesus Christ. We are the body of Christ. And we're to be as Christ-like as we can possibly be. That's why He put Christ in us. You know, that's why we can speak in tongues. That's why we can have that divine nature and fellowship with God so that we can be Christ-like, so we can carry out Christ's ministry on earth. Why did Jesus Christ come to earth? To declare God, to make grace and truth known, to make eternal life available. So we're supposed to do that too. Let's go to 2 Corinthians. last verse. How easy is that? It says, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. That communion of the Holy Spirit. We have that spiritual being within us. We have that spiritual nature. And that's what makes it possible for us to have the close, beautiful, ultimate relationship with our Heavenly Father. Isn't that great? You know, and it was made available by Jesus Christ and the love of God. See, and we're to manifest that love of God. We're to live that love of God. The more we walk in that love of God, the greater life is going to be. And just the way it is. Let's go to 1 John. And we'll close there. 1 John chapter 3. I love these couple of verses. Just a wonderful. Chapter 3, verse 1. Behold. When it says behold, you know what it means?
Pay attention.
Behold. It's emphatic. What manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us. Just think about that. You know, what love God has bestowed upon us, what manner of love? Well, it's perfect love. It's perfect giving. It's He doesn't take it back, does He? Nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. He never stops loving us. You know, sometimes we think He does because we screw up or we're stupid. But he never stops loving us. And we should never stop loving him. What manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. What a privilege, what an honor, what a joy. How amazing that is. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. And boy, that is so true. You know, sometimes you talk to people and they stare at you with a blank face and say, what? Yeah. You know, when I was in the hospital, one of the things, and I just did this because I like to just be nice to people and get a smile on people's face. And so I worked really hard at being kind to the nurses. You know, I told them how sweet they were and how nice they were, and I was so thankful for what they were doing. And you know, every time if I rang the bell, they were there. Yeah. Now, that's not why I did it, but you know, it's just, that's the way people are when you treat them nicely. Because you know, they have to deal with so much crap, and people that come in and they're miserable and sick and in pain. And I don't care how much pain you're in, you can still be loving and nice to people. So, see, but the world doesn't act like that, do that. So when you go somewhere and you exhibit and you manifest that love of God, man, it affects people, even in ways they don't even know. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. Right now, not in the future, not in the end times, not at the return, right now. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be. You know we're going to be changed. We're going to get that perfect body, but not now. But we know that when he shall appear, when Christ shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. As he is. Not as he was. You know, when he was on earth, he suffered. He had to deal with things. But as he is, seated at the right hand of God in all his glory. You know? And it says, as he is, so are we in this world. Right? That's the way we're supposed to be. As he is in all his glory, that's how we are supposed to be in this world. We're supposed to walk with that brightness, with that love, with that confidence in our Heavenly Father. And the more we work at having that fellowship and that communion with him, the greater life will be. So, Father God, we thank you for this day. We thank you for loving us, for blessing us, and that we can just make the effort to be the best we can for you, and that we'll see just great things happen in our lives. We thank you, God, that we are more than conquerors and that nothing can separate us from your love. And we thank you, God, for just a great afternoon and a great week ahead where we glorify you in everything we do. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.